All right, welcome back. It is Thursday, July 7th, and kind of surprisingly, there's a lot going on in the sports news. So I want to talk about Baker Mayfield trade to the Carolina Panthers, NBA stuff, Gobert, the big trade to the T-Wolves, and what's going on with the Nets. But let's first start with college football and all the movement, all the stuff that is going on in college football. It's starting to look closer and closer to the NFL. But as you all know, USC and UCLA are following the lead of Texas and Oklahoma from last year and moving conferences, this time to the Big Ten. And there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of takes. This is bad for college football. It's no longer regional. Hashtag, I can't see USC playing an 11 a.m. game in Northwestern. All these different factors that go into it. It's really, really big kind of shift. One of the bigger shifts we've seen in college sports, at least for me, in my lifetime. But let's start with how it happened. And this isn't rocket science. It was not 98% about money. It was not 99% about money. It was 100% about money. Nobody was in a conference room with all of these commissioners saying, hey, I think we should make college football better. Let's go ahead and take these two California teams and just have them play all these teams on the East Coast and in the Midwest. That's really going to help college football. It's all about money. And the way it works with these TV networks is every single team in a conference, like the Big Ten or Pac-12 or SEC, ACC, they split the TV money, which is their largest pool of revenue. It's what really matters for these colleges, universities to get this money. It's the TV money from ESPN, from Fox. Some conferences have their own networks like the Big Ten Network, SEC Network, ACC Network. And they take all this money and they divide it by the amount of teams in the conference, okay? And then they split it up. And so we had teams last year like Texas and Oklahoma like, wait a minute, we're bringing in all of this revenue. We're the biggest brand names. Why are we then going back and splitting it up? It's like if you were part of a sales team and you brought in, you made 60% of the sales, but then there's a it's a group of 10 people and you guys say, you know what, we're going to split all of the sales commissions evenly. And so instead of getting 60%, you're getting 10%. And so what these teams like USC and UCLA are now, you know, lifting their heads up, they're like, okay, we're going to have to spend a bunch of money for NIL and other stuff to stay competitive. We want to get as much money as possible. And so we're going to move to a conference that has a lot similar brand names to us. And so we're not carrying this conference. We're getting close to our equal share. And if I'm the Pac-12 in this case, I'm like, could they have not have worked out a deal that said, hey, USC, UCLA, if you guys leave, this conference is cooked, okay? Nobody wants to watch any of the rest of these games. Maybe some Oregon games here and there, but crystal ball is gone. You don't know if they're going to go through a slump or not. I don't know why these conferences didn't just say, hey, we'll give you guys instead of, I don't know how many teams were in the Pac-10, like 12. So 12 divided by whatever that comes out to be 9% of the revenue. We'll give you guys 20 or 25% because you carry a lot more weight than everyone else. That doesn't happen. They're gone, and now the Pac-12 is demolished. What I am looking forward to is the next 2 years, while these teams are still in their current conference, it's going to get testy. A lot of these teams are going to come gunning for USC, UCLA, send them out with a loss, and so it's going to get very chippy, and I'm looking forward to that. All the away crowds against these teams are going to be incredible. So what's the good news, you might ask? There's so much bad news. You know, college football, everyone's saying college football, it's going to the wayside. Kids are getting paid. It's turning into professional football. All these conferences are changing. Here's the good thing for the fan. We're going to get more great football games. The more concentrated these conferences become, the more times they're going to play against each other, right? Now, instead of USC playing Colorado or Washington State, Washington at 11 Eastern time in the night. Now they're going to be playing against Michigan State at 3:30 on Fox, or Michigan, and all these different matchups, games that are going to be awesome to watch. And one of the big problems with college football, one of the few problems with the actual product of college football, is there's not a ton of big games week to week. It'll be like, yeah, we've got that big Fox a big noon game on Fox, which is normally a Big Ten matchup. And then you've got the sometimes an SEC game that's really big, and then an 8 p.m. on ABC game. And maybe there'll be one or two of those a week, especially early on. And so sometimes it feels like there's a big game shortage in college football. When you look at the NFL, on the other hand, every game seems important. They're just so important, you feel like you can't keep up to date because they're all going on at the same time. And that's why there's NFL Red Zone, because there's a thirst from fans to stay updated on every single action that's happening in every single football game. If we had that in college football, it's like 95% of these games no one cares about, especially on a national basis. And so I think with this, we're going to get more of these big-time matchups. I think the playoffs are going to expand, because when you have so many good teams in one conference, you're going to have to expand the playoffs, because there's going to be teams that are deserving that just had to play each other because they're in the same conference. We get the expanded playoff, which I think, and this is kind of a rabbit hole thing that I think will happen, which is good for the fan, expand the playoffs. And then with expanded playoffs, there's less pressure to run the table. And so I think non-conference scheduling will get more competitive, and it won't be these first 2 weeks of just playing Alcorn State every single game, and especially with the money that those games can generate. And so that could be a positive of this new conference alignment happening. Okay, so the big news out of the NFL, Baker Mayfield traded from the Browns to the Carolina Panthers for a fifth round pick. Not too much to pay for Mayfield. Before I get into the trade, let's do a quick rundown of the Carolina Panthers and their QB carousel. So they draft Will Greer in the third round. He was a quarterback, Florida. Then he was like, wait, is he on steroids? Goes to West Virginia. Stills put up big numbers, but he has not panned out. They pay Teddy Bridgewater $33 million guaranteed. Doesn't really work out. They cut Cam Newton. Then they trade, make a big splash. Remember, they've got a new owner who's trying to win. He's got a ton of money. Trade a second, fourth, and sixth round pick for Sam Darnold. Then they sign Cam Newton back. They trade up to draft Corral out of Ole Miss. And now they trade for Baker Mayfield. And their current QB room is Baker, Sam Darnold, and Corral. And it is interesting. They've got Baker and Sam Darnold, who were two of the top three picks in the 2018 draft. Just 4 or 5 years ago, these guys were selected in the top three. Number one overall is Baker. Number three was Darnold. And so here's where I'm at. I respect the move by the Panthers, but I don't love it. And here's what I mean. I respect it in that it's an owner saying, I want to win right now. I don't just want to go through another 6-11, 5-12 season with Darnold / Corral and just be middling around. I want to win for this fan base, is what this move says. But I don't love it, because look at next year's draft. There's a ton of good quarterbacks coming out next year. You just ride another, 4 or 5 win season. You get a top 5 pick. Maybe you play Corral some. You figure out if he's good or not. And then, if you don't like what you see from Corral, you can draft a quarterback. Or if you do like what you see, you can trade this prized top 5, top 7 pick to a team that really wants one of these good quarterbacks that will be coming out. And so, if you're a Panthers fan, your team got better and you only gave up a 5th round pick. But when you look at the future, the next 3 to 5 years, I think the Panthers needed more of an NBA-type mindset where they tank but don't lose on purpose. They just don't have the players in place, and it's a lot easier in football because you just need one position not to be good, and you're not going to win many games. But instead, the Panthers did the NBA equivalent of getting like an 8 seed, where you've got no chance of making a run in the playoffs or even really making the playoffs. Baker, an upgrade, yes, but this team is not ready to win. This is not a Matthew Stafford piece to the Rams where you're like, okay, now we feel like a whole team. This is a 500 team at best, and now they've just ruined their chance of getting a top quarterback in the following draft. Okay, let's finish up with some NBA, and the season, even a month after the finals, is still in full force. And the biggest trade so far has been Rudy Gobert, going from the Jazz to the Timberwolves for four different kind of role players on the T-Wolves and the 22nd overall pick, which is Walker Kessler, the big man out of Auburn, and then four first-round picks. This trade was widely criticized by just about everybody, and while I don't like Rudy Gobert, the player, I just in this NBA, you have got to be able to guard people on the perimeter, even if you're a big man. And now they've added a second guy, in addition to Karl Anthony Towns, who can't guard on switches and stay, you know, relatively in the same vicinity of a guard on the perimeter. But I think people are overreacting because the four first-round picks, let's take a look at them. It's 23, 25, 27, 29. If you're the Timberwolves, you're looking at your team like, okay, we've got Anthony Edwards, who's going to sign the rookie Mac extension and be on our team for at least the next 6 years. We've got Karl Anthony Towns locked up. We've got D'Angelo Russell. We've got some role players. Now we've got Rudy Gobert. We are locked in at being, you know, a top six seed in the West for the next 5 to 8 years. So the best possible pick that this could be would be, you know, the 22nd overall pick. And so when you reframe the trade as like the 22nd, 24th, 25th, and 24th overall picks, it looks a lot different than four first overall picks. And I think what the T-Wolves see is, you know, the Western Conference has a lot of really good teams, but there's no great team. And I think the Timberwolves see, we've got Karl Anthony Towns coming to his prime. We've got Anthony Edwards getting better and better each year. There's no waiting around. We've got to try to win a championship right now. And they believe that Rudy Gobert is going to help this team get to that top of the Western Conference potential. What they're thinking is, hey, we've got Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell, two guys right now that are not stellar on the defensive end. If we can shore up our rim protection, not let any easy layups like we saw, you know, guys like Steph Curry and these quick guards, Ja Morant, not necessarily a quick guard, but Luka Doncic, other players that get to the rim. If we can protect that, then that gives us a leg up on every other Western Conference team. Let's finish up quickly with the Nets. Kyrie Irving wants to go to LA, and here's the leverage that he has. He just signed a one-year deal that picked up the option, and so he stated, and you wonder why am I saying he wants to go to LA? That's his leverage. He's saying, I want to go to LA. And I want to play there for, you know, years to come, not just this year. And so that immediately gives the Lakers leverage to deal with the Nets. And all the other teams that want him are like, wait a minute, he wants to play in LA, so he's just going to be a one-year rental. So we're not going to give that many assets up to get him. And so that puts the Lakers in the front seat. I'm not exactly sure what assets the Lakers are going to give up because they really don't have that many. And they're going to have to make the contracts line up. It's so annoying at these NBA trades. You got to get the salaries added up. And so is Westbrook going to be in it with his big salary? Are they going to give up their 2029 pick? Talen Horton-Tucker? Like, what else do they have? But it looks like he's going to go to the Lakers. And seemingly, this decrepit franchise the past 365 days is now going to have Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Kyrie on the same team. So that's a pretty dang good big three. Kevin Durant wants to get traded as well. Apparently, the trade market is not as big as you would think. And I was thinking about it, like, KD's going to turn 34 before this coming season. He's been in the league since 2006, okay, for, what is that, 17 years. He has injury history. And I think a lot of these teams, like the Celtics and the Suns, are really hesitant to give up these young stars like a Jaylen Brown or Devin Booker for an aging Kevin Durant who, you know, maybe you get three really good years out of him, but you'd much rather have, you know, 10 years, another decade of these superstars on your team. And I think a lot of that's kind of the way teams have been trending. And I think another piece of it is teams are looking at Durant and, you know, what happened when things got tough, right? So what's going to happen if he comes to our team and things aren't great? Well, let's look like KD. They give up a 3-1 lead as KD on the Thunder, lose to Golden State. goes to Golden State the next year, wins a couple championships. Then Draymond is getting on KD. What does he do? He leaves for Brooklyn. Gets to Brooklyn. What does he do? Got to get Kyrie. Got to trade all your assets for Harden. Harden leaves. Now Kyrie wants out. Now Kevin, things are getting tough. He wants to bounce. And so teams, I think, are a little more cautious now with the NBA superstar that has shown that he's ready to leave when things are not how he planned. And I think that's why teams are hesitant with KD right now. That wraps up today's podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Be back soon. See ya.